great tribulation.
Blog Talk Radio.
Turn for a solution. I turn to the Most High God. Yahuwah is my path to fulfillment. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a great time. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. We've got to wake up from the sleep of death. We've got to wake up from the sleep that takes our breath. We've got to wake up, sons and daughters of Jacob. We got to wake up, holy pilgrims caught in the fisher's net. Peace and safety in the sparrow's nest. Blood and violence caught from the spider's web. Children taught ways of the living dead. Elders left to suffocate and die. Everyone heard no one cry.
Yes, so it's time to wake up and live and forgive and live. Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings. But so as we're live because we're intending to say 11 of those existential moments paradoxically connected to Torah Chaim and internally in Torah instructions, toward chesed, instructions of kindness, toward rachamim, instructions of mercy. You're now tuned in to Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly assert with a higher inner frequency. This is Soul Quest number 762, Jerome Sage Butler. Music, word, sound equals power. Blesses our eternal creator. Shalom, peace, and bracha. Blessing upon the entire human family experience. Our next program is taking place right now with creator's help. It is now January 2nd, 2022. It is now 11:31. And let's have some fun live from Turtle Island equals AKA equals the USA equals Unified Soul Activation. Our co-host, Jerome Sage Butler, will reunite for the first time since January 12, 2020. Discussions are planned to focus on the music, word, sound, and the power that can be harnessed to facilitate human growth and healing. Jerome Sage Butler, who is based in the Diamond of the Caribbean, Jamaica, will review as well, hopefully, what has occurred in Jamaica over the past 2 years in a very terse fashion. Our call number is 563-999-3688. Meanwhile, may our eternal creator bless and protect you and your loved ones in a peaceful, pleasant manner. The tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Universal Redemption, Divine Image, Word, Sound, and Power, Jerome Sage Butler, Torah of the Israel, Oral and Written Torah Traditions, Prophet Shall Return Soon. And now, to take us now to the next level, beyond the sun and the moon, Jerome Sage Butler, and we're listening to his cut from last May, Wake Up the Great Owl, which you can see on YouTube and catch in the cloud. So without further ado, let's bring in our brother, who is one of the chosen few who can bring out his words, thoughts, and speech and action to the satisfaction of other human souls. This is Jerome Sage Butler. Good morning, Jerome Sage. Jerome Sage. I pulled you in, Jerome Sage. Hello. Jerome Sage. Jerome Sage, I'm trying to bring you in. And let's see what's happening now. Jerome Sage, can you hear me?
Things.
Ah, okay. We had a little glitch there. You know, Jerome Sage, before you go further, I just want to mention, I remember the first time we did a program and I called you by mistake Jeremy or Jeremiah, and I had some trouble pronouncing your last name again now. So it's kind of like the end is wedged in the beginning is wedged in the end, but in the middle, that's where we'll get off the slurry speech griddle and let you take away and welcome everyone internationally to our broadcast today.
Awesome. Divine blessings. Greater David, greater son. Oh my God. It's been more than a moment. And brother, I must say divinely, you know, brother Goodman, it's been an interesting journey. We have shared a lot of information. We have learned a lot. And in the time between the last broadcast and this current broadcast, you know, I've grown so much. The music has grown, and you know, the thoughts and are very much, marinating in one sense has happened. So I want to give thanks to the divine orders, the divine presence of the Most High in all things, thought, sounds, energy, frequency, electromagnetic in all ways and behaviors. You know, the little glitches, brother, it's like they're coming together. We're coming across dimensions of time and space and energy and frequency. So it's kind of good to go across that little, you know, short circuit. The flashline sequence of the light oscillation is just a little sparking, a little low. But then, you know, when those D12 waves kick in, it gets all harmonized. And here we are, synchronized, syncopated in rhythm frequency. Yeah, the heart chakra, 432 megahertz, 7.83 hertz. Blissings.
You say 7.53, that adds up to numerical value. I'm sorry?
7.83.
So that adds up to 18, which is the numerical value for two Hebrew letters, Ches and Yud, which means Chai, life. So that frequency is a frequency of life.
Exactly. Divinely.
Drumstage, you know, we just talked a couple minutes before the program. Bob Marley talked about encouraging other human souls to get into the studio of experience. And I'm taking a course in trauma therapy with the work that I do. And the writer of the book, a leading facilitator of trauma care, talked about experience is music, which is very interesting because we normally don't perceive music in our lives as part of our living experience unless we hear the drum and bass, you know, and the singing and the dancing as well. So your take on this, you know, the connection between experiences music and then finally manifesting that experience into actual music as you've been done for the past several years.
Blessings. Experience being music and then becoming aware of your experience as music. Well, first of all, when I started out, you know, I just had a love for the essence of what music was to me, which was a feeling at the time in the 80s of harmony, of understanding of information. So I thought music, without knowing any technicalities or deep spiritualities, was about harmony, you know, a way of bringing a certain resonation out of the being. Now, when I came into understanding life as music, was when the Most High, you know, had me one day, said we're going to do a video. So I started a video and I was going in the direction he was leading me. So in that, he revealed to me that life is a song. And the essence with human beings is that in the orchestration of life, humans aren't really playing the right songs or playing the songs in the right chords and the right keys. So at first I didn't understand what the right chords and the right keys were. So as I mentioned, 7.83 hertz. And the essence of that 7.83 hertz and what it means in terms of how the biology operates in the human being or the human, you know, the functions of human biology, not just the human psychology, you know, but the human biology. I realized that there's a law of rhythm, and all things vibrate, resonate, and let's use the word operate on a timing sequence. And the timing sequence is regulated by the pneuma, which is the spirit, which is the breath. So we are actually breathing in on a key note and timing. And if we're breathing properly, you know, taking deep breaths in the right syncopation, that means that we're breathing on a notation value, right? We're breathing on sound, tones, notes, tonalities, frequencies. And if the frequencies are harmonized in the 432 megahertz, what happens is that you are in sequence alignment with the very nature of existence. That means that you are feeling, experiencing, expressing music as existence. Now, when I heard that in spirituality, and then I began to deeply dive into ultra waves, and into the kilohertz, megahertz, and ultrahertz, I began to realize that in syncopation, we are really a song. We're really a string resonance in an optimal key of life. And if we breathe properly, if we are inspired naturally, eat, sleep, and in the most natural organic state by nature, hallelujah, we are music. or words come out in a tonal frequency that is perfectly harmonized on the pentatonic or on any scale of measure of sound and its frequency. So I've now come to understand that music isn't a thought ideation, it's an actuality. And if you experience life in its many syncopation of energies, its many tonal values like sorrow, kindness, disenchantment, enchantment, you know, the many opposite balance within the string and the balance of the law of rhythm, that all things you experience go along a timing. And because maybe you're running, you're laughing, yeah, all those have a numerical value that is tonal as well as it is vibrational, because you can feel it and experience it. But it's the same scale that you're experiencing. That is why when you hear a melody, it goes right into the heart chakra to the point where you feel bliss. Or let's say it's a discordant vibration, not concordant. Let's say it's discordant. You listen to this chord and you're agitated. Hallelujah. You're disillusioned. You're a tad bit confused for a moment, right? Some might say they are amazed, but let's go into the etymology of being amazed. It means that there's somewhat of a confusion, an overwhelming sense of lack of orientation, right? You're taken into a new space, and this is done through frequency, through discordant vibration. So that is not just in terms of the sound. The sound has vibration, and vibration, it equalizes with the vibration of your being. That is why we can say, oh, that's a bomb tune, or that's really peaceful, or that's really aggressive or angry. And it also has it manifests visibly also in movement that we call dance, right? So if the strings are played right, when an artist goes on the stage and really hits that note properly in the right sequence of harmonization, not only does it give euphoric stimulation, it moves the biology. So the syncopation of that movement is called dance. And so it's the same frequency being transposed into a biological movement, and also in sequence with the law of rhythm, you know. So I've come to understand that music is our lives, and we produce this music from the experience. Not all experiences are pleasant. So that is why music don't always have a concordant vibration. That is why a lot of it has a discordant vibration. And if the prevailing thought and experience around is tending towards discordance, then the vibration of the music, of the individuals who create the music, will tend to be discordant. Rather, good.
Beautiful. So when we talk about these experiences then being transformed, because, you know, we know energy is never destroyed. It just takes a different form. So the energy of that life experience with the person who has the talents, and even if they don't have the talents, you know, I always encourage people, when you walk in the street, you should sing a song. When you're doing the dishes, sing a song. With some of my clients, recently I bought, you know, I don't know if you've heard of this, it's an instrument called a gazoo, where you don't have to know how to play. Instead of singing, you're blowing air into like what looks like to be like a truncated type of a flute, but there's no pedals to touch on it. And I said, do this when you feel tense. Start to sing. Become mindful of the sound that you're making of your favorite song. So that, I want to tie that into drum stage and for you to take the ball and run with it, the verbal ball, of course. Music, with the word and sound and power connected to it, being the means of facilitating human growth. And when there's human growth, we shouldn't be surprised when there's human healing. Your comments on these matters.
Oh, especially as it relates to human healing, Brother Goodman. Because the music can strike the vibratory chords, then on the vibratory string chord is emotions. Emotions are different levels of the same chords, just played at a different measure. So lower vibrations, right, discordant vibrations, right, they are melancholy moods. They are moods of disassociation in psychology, right? They are the moods that are temperamental and in the flashline sequence are inconsistent. There's not rhythmic harmonization. There's improper patterns of breathing because of the way the behaviors are, thoughts impacting behaviors, the psychomatics of it. So when the music is concordant and the individuals, i.e. in a band or a choir, is harmonized to that sequential harmony in the 432, because, hey, one, their mental processes are towards some value that is not just based on stardom, but towards some value within what music is, the sense of what it offers, vibratory, a sense of wholeness, of the feeling. So let's transpose that feeling into not just its sensory, but what it is psychologically. That good feeling, it's healing, it's harmony, it is restoration, because discordant brings bad vibrations, which will literally manifest as physical ailments if not checked. The psychosis and neuroses start from aberrant thought patterns, which are influenced by feelings. So if the feelings are left unchecked, in one sense psychologically, there's depression, right? But in the right sense, when the music and the sensory is stimulated, there comes this harmonious resonance that is natural, which we call the good feeling and the good vibration. When it's in its right aura, that is healing, because it takes away melancholy, which leads to wrong thoughts, or is influenced from wrong thoughts, which will lead to wrong behaviors, which will lead to wrong outcomes. And as such, that disharmonization is unhealthy, and that's where disease comes from, or ingrained psychological pathogens come from, right? In the same breath, the reverse is true. If the cards are played correctly and the music is from the good place, like the choir finding the right reasons to be hitting those high notes because it's coming from a place in the soul, let's say it's driven by faith, where the desire is to harmonize with the highest frequency, which is love, Yahuwah, the divine creator. And so that inspiration, not saying the person is perfect, but that inspiration directing actuality. Now we're talking about what they're actually doing. The sounds emanating from the desires from the physical being is harmonized towards a greater good. So let's say you go to church that we tabernacle synagogue, right? The frequency so high, you came there with not just melancholic vibes, but vibes that literally cause problems in temperament, right? But also it was causing breathing issues, right? And literally it was becoming biological. But you went there, started singing, praising, chanting, right? Breathing clearer and deeper in the pneuma, feeling good. All of the pathogens left. Music can be healing if it is just used in the right manner in sessions of therapy. And I know with people who are going through neuroses and psychosis within the different mental conditions, I know music in its right concordance can reduce the outward manifestations of depressive or the maladies of behaviors. Brother.
Beautiful. I just want to bring out one thing just before we get back into the music and the healing part. Is Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, I think we've mentioned on a previous broadcast together, Brother Drum Sage, that Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, who lived from 1772 till he went to the next level of life in 1810, talked that when a person's peeling down, he shut the dance and pictured himself stepping on the head of the evil inclination, otherwise known as the Satan or the Satan. That the whole idea of jumping up and down, moving the body, chemicals are being released, and the heart rate is changing, and the respiration is changing, and a person gets into a mindfulness that I will not let the wrongfulness or the lack of education or the lack of awareness of who I'm supposed to be bring me down. Instead, I know this is the subterfuge of certain spiritual energies, which are the negative side of the universe, which actually themselves, subconsciously, according to our inner dimensions of Torah teachings, want us to conquer them. But until then, you know, it's like the stories, you know, Daniel walked into the lion's den. You know, they feel, oh, wow, you know, here comes some good kosher meat. But they were like pussycats because he was a man with his divine image that he could manifest. And when the king's king's entourage, who were jealous of Daniel, went down into the same pit as after Daniel went up. They were torn to pieces even before they hit the ground because their negativities were detracting from their divine ministry. So when we get out of our negativities and our pain, and we're not saying it's easy, and we have to pray for those who are in pain and can't seem to get out of their pain. One of the things, Drum Sisters, that I'm learning, and I'm trying to bring this in and break it down to applesauce for the people I deal with, is that when a person has some sort of trauma, I'm talking about a physical trauma, an emotional trauma, even a spiritual trauma, they were disappointed by their spiritual leaders, which is traumatic for many people, is that
Absolutely.
They start to lose the – there's a part of the brain called the Broca area. Now, the Broca area has been shown with, you know, the modern technologies that when people have strokes, God forbid, we should never know these things, and for our loved ones, that lesions form in that part of the brain to limit human speech. So when a person goes through a trauma, when they've manned the cameras on that part of the brain, that the brain is mimicking certain pathologies which are similar to a stroke experience. There's not physical lesions in the brain, but the brain doesn't light up to activate human letters of thought to try to explain what their pain is and move beyond it. And therefore, the beauty and the power of music is that it takes a person into one of the highest realms of mindfulness of sound and melody and chorus and the human voice. And of course, when the human voice is transmitting words, like Bob said, get up and forget your sickness and dance. So it's, you know, Rabbi Nachman said it his way, and Bob Marley said it way, get up, you know, forget about your sickness and dance. Your comments on these matters.
Absolutely. You know, our music is electromagnetonal. You know, it has that electromagnetism to it, not just the tonality, which is sound. And so if a person might not necessarily be responding to the tonality, there's the electromagnetism that is with music as well, too, which means it resonates in the being in vibratory means. So as the Rebbe said, to get up and dance, you know, as we say, shake and shake the negativity off, by nature what you're doing is realigning the frequency from its lower vibratory experiences, which is steeped in negativity. And, you know, in the case of a traumatic experience where the flashline sequence is completely disturb and the law of rhythm is no longer in experience of the functionality. It is there in law, in essence, but it is not now functional. The essence of that return to harmonization is vibratory. And if a person is not feeling it through the pulse or the impulse of the musical vibration, there's also the piece of electrical music that comes through the frequency of subtle ambient sound, right? That is not necessarily organized tonalities, but they're ambient. So an individual going out into the music of nature has been proven to stimulate vibratorily those auditory parts of the brain that shuts down because of traumatic experiences. However, I do understand that with each individual, each culture, each system of psychiatric practice, you know, it differs, right? But I do know by the organic methodologies that I have used and others have used without the clinical overtures to it, people who have been highly depressed because of dark experiences, without trying to minister unto them through sound, literally going into the subtle sounds of nature, the quiet musical tones that come through a quiet book, the gentle breeze blowing through the trees, the fragrances that also carry the same sonic frequencies because they stimulate same parts of the brain. Those things are stimulated, but in a more incremental and subtler means. And if I am not mistaken, I think back in the day, there were some natural theories in psychiatric phenomena that had vast organic spaces in sanatoriums. You can correct me if I'm wrong, because somehow they knew that deep neurosis and psychosis, as I said, depending on individuals, could be reversed. And an individual through music, i.e. music that is directed to its vibratory nature, not just its tonality, but to the electromagnetism, that there's a subtle spark, let's call it the oil spark, let's use that. There's the oil spark in that fire of the sound frequency that is going beyond the tonality to stimulate the conscious parts of the brain, which is connected to the near experiences, which usually are the ones that short circuit when a person goes into these states. But it goes to the subtext, the subconscious, which is not really as affected, but it is somewhat closed off from the conscious. That music, that tone gets there. And it's interesting that people who even lose like their vocal cords can still sing. So losing the stoma, they still sing, right? Because that frequency, while being regulated in its vocal and its verbation through the verbal, right, to the epiglottis, it is not the only place which it is transmuted, understood, or is functional, because we literally are a song. And so we can get to the movement within the song, transposing behavior subtly to transmute into health, into harmony. I, for one, when I started music, my thing about music was to bring information, because I wasn't into knowing of the healing properties of music. I was into bringing information. And in my thought, information in of itself carried a certain frequency, because i.e. if it is centered around truth, it carries a wholeness to the law that an individual can isolate from it, its musicality, right? So being a poet, we use words in their own verbal frequencies, which stimulates a certain part of the cerebral cortex, right? And the hypothalamus lights up as well, too, from a lot of this activity, just by speaking words, you know? And so if the words are in syncopation and rhythm, which I've become, you know, more into the singing, but I still do my poetry. But my message now, which is the point I'm trying to make, it is not just the idea of using words, I know, and understand frequency, being in the right state of frequency, not just in my thoughts, you know, not just depending on the salubrious nature of thought, but being biologically and psychomatically attuned to the right frequencies in the orchestration of life, breathing, eating, sleeping, thinking, functioning properly. That is music in frequency. When I sing, even though my ideologies, as we were explaining before, might not be for, in essence, all experience, because I was singing in that song about the sons and daughters of Jacob, which spans the earth and all cultures. In my anthropology, I come to know this. However, in religiosity, it is seen as a certain type of people, but in my anthropology, the sons and daughters of Jacob span all ethnicities. So it is literally encompassing the whole earth. So even though my psychological understanding through my culture might come across through the linguistic eyes, it's only talking about that. But vibrationally, hallelujah, I am actually talking about all of the beings of the plane in our cultural understanding of what the family is. So I'm saying brother and sister. So what that is saying, it's transposing the highest level of emotions. I'm relating to fellow humans as my brothers and my sisters. And this is what I've come to understand, not just psychologically, psychomatically, but also by tradition, is what is right. And that is music, as I said. So this is why my music is like this. In the frequency it is in, it might not sound like the popular frequencies, because it is not 440, hallelujah. It's not directed from 440 or towards the 440 mind spectrum.
Right, right. Well, I just want to come what you said about directing it out to the peoples of the earth. You know, Abraham, his original name was Avram, or Abram. Now, Abram in the Hebrew breaks down to exalted wisdom. Av meaning father or wisdom, and Ram being exalted. But once he took on the covenant with the Almighty through the circumcision process and the Abrahamic covenant, which would then eventually be elevated to the Mosaic covenant,
hallelujah,
which individuals like myself follow, is that Abraham also means Av Hamon Goyim, father of many nations, meaning the influence, culturally speaking and value-wise, of that individual from almost 4,000 years ago has penetrated into all cultures all over the world. So
hallelujah,
we say someone who teaches someone, it's like that's their child. So you teach someone who is not of your DNA background, but you teach them a wisdom, they literally becoming your son and daughter from a Torah perspective, by the way.
Perfect syncopation. Perfect syncopation, brother. I love it. I love it. I love it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's
because
why,
you know, the human...
Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
I would say this is the harmonization of the human family, for real. Abram is also in the Hinduic tongue. It's Abramin, which is one
yes.
that is gifted with wisdom as well, too. So in many cultural aesthetics, it really resonates the same seed of wisdom, seed of I am. I and am. I existence. Am presence.
Yeah. And the whole idea of I and I that Rasta have branded and revealed over the last, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years, whatever it may be, that in the
yes.
Hebrew, you would say not I and I, but ion and ion. The ion, the
ion,
the
ayin.
Intellect, ion
yeah.
by ion. But it's not just a jingle, it's not a mantra, it's just the ion of the intellect connection. Actually, is actually more influenced by the eye of the intellect of the human heart. Because the resonance, the soul essence of a person, from the cognitive perspective, from a Torah interdimensional perspective, the cognitive function, the higher function is coming from the brain. But the more intuitive thinking, which actually will alert a person's awakeness in their mind, is really coming from the epicenter of the heart. As we know, like a person walks by a, goes mountain climbing, and before they know it, they're standing right next to a cliff. There's a shudder. Or a person's in the jungle, they hear a lion roar or whatever, and their heart shudders. Meaning they're not intellectually
yes.
processing, well, I hear the largest feline, you know, the largest of the feline family is now stalking me. No, you know, danger. It's a, you know, and then a person, hopefully the person will use their intellect to process how to get out of that situation or to take a couple of steps back from the mountain. You know, so this, that's how I read into the ayin or the ayin-ay, is that sometimes we are more dominated, you know, cognitively, which can affect the emotions of the heart, or sometimes we're having that gut intuitive feeling within our heart that's going to guide our cognitive awareness that's taking place in that gray matter in between our right and left ears.
Absolutely. You know, again, I mentioned of the piezoelectrical properties that goes beyond the subconscious. It is more vibratory in terms of feeling because it's subtler. Because subtler than thoughts are feelings, deeper than thoughts are feelings. So that subtle piezoelectricity goes to the telluric field within the heart chakra. You know, it stimulates, you know, what we call in Shia life heartbeat telegraphics. And one day I will have to do a teaching on heartbeat telegraphics. But what heartbeat, as it says, telly, yes. You know what telly means, or what graphics. So it is transmitting images. In the heart. Did you hear what I said?
Right.
Our teachers are quite unique. Your heartbeat telegraphics, that your heart, feelings, emotions are transmitting images to the heart. So when a person hears the roar of the lion in the piezoelectrical telluric field, what they're seeing is the fear manifest in its frequency. It is like an onomatopoeia, the sound being the action and the action being the sound. It is that fear is manifest. The image of being mauled is instantaneously transposed as fear.
Beautiful.
And the essence...
Yes, please, continue.
And the essence of it is that more than what we're thinking is what we're feeling. And the essence of being an orchestration of life is that true music, or all music, but the truest music appeals to feelings, to that which is beyond the dharmic fields of matter, to the telluric fields of energy, right, to the electrical fields, the fields which causes movement, cause, you know, and magnetism, yeah, which causes bonding in movement. That is why we have harmonization as dance, right? You know, the music in its right essence, right, it's breathing properly, right, it's thinking properly, right, it's being filled with gnosis in its right sequence, what we call the flashline sequence, that is the oscillation, that's how the energy is operating in the being, right, so you are letting go just in the right moment that you're about to grasp something. But we discussed this before, that in that moment of letting go, before you grasp something, grasp, both words, is the moment between the boat constants, which is also intransient because they continue, but they go in sequence. And in between their sequence is silence, or the anti, the party come, that antimatter, the negative space, or the what we call the dark forces, which, as you say, right. as the Rebbe say, the essence is to overcome via the test or the opposite
right.
of the right frequency. And they exist between the spaces of its resonance. In that silence, one is absolved from the forms we take. And that's where the mind is absolved into the heart. And music is a sequence of how that happens over and over. So in the holding on to that last beautiful note, right? If we hold on to it forever or constantly, what happens? We lose the note that's about to come. But in between the note that is going and the note that is coming is no note. Is that release, letting go, the renewal, that spark, that spark that keeps the sequence in alignment, breathing, thinking, resting in the moment, in appropriation. There's a time and a season. That is music, you know. That statement, there's a time and a season
yes.
for everything. That is
yes.
a musical notation.
Yes.
Denoted fact, that is. And as such, when we put things in its right season, a person who has that connection to the all, the divine, to Yahuwah, through Christ, through that divine spirit within, they begin to sing and dance when they are filled wholly with the light. Ayin, ayin, ayin bahayin.
Beautiful. I'd like to digress for one moment, Drum Sage, as we now pass over into the second half of today's presentation. You know, some people call it pandemic, some people call this and that. I like to call it a international earth template that the Almighty, because of the actions of human beings, and see, I'm a great believer that we are partners with the Most High, not that we are being ruled by a satanic figure. Rather, there is a satanic figure and a satanic legion and negative force, negative energies, but that human beings don't realize how powerful we are is that we empower that negativity, heaven forbid, if we do what's wrong. But on the other hand, if we do what's right, again, we are going to suck out the energy of that negativity, which is basically waiting for us and subconsciously from a higher perspective for us to conquer it. So I like to talk about one of the most elevating songs that I've heard in my lifetime. Of course, it was written by Bob Marley. It was called One Love. And I want to take apart those words, one and love, from the Hebrew perspective. First of all, the idea of one. In Hebrew, it's called Echad. And the Ah of Echad is Aleph, which according to the interdimensional Torah is referring to the unique one, the essence and being of the Creator, who is the unique one, meaning not a numerical oneness, but just is. And the Cha of Echad is the supernal wisdom that emanates out of this essence of being of Creator. And the Da of Echad is the supernal speech, which is not like they show in the Hollywood movies, you know, a Moses or some prophetic figure from the Old Testament or New Testament hears a voice that's a deep voice like James Earl Jones or some other thespian, but rather it's really referring to revelation. Dibor is like you and I are revealing what we're thinking. So the Almighty creative process is through the idea of speech. So this Echad, Aleph has a numerical of one, and Ches has numerical value of 8. 8 plus 1 is 1, 9, and Dalet has numerical of 4, that's 13, which also adds up to the word Ahava, Aleph, Hey, and then base Hey, and that means Ahava, Echad, one love, which the value of 13 of Ahava and the value of 13 of Echad adds up to 26, which is the ineffable name of the Yud followed by the Hey, followed by the love and the Hey. So what I think Bob Marley subconsciously, whether he did it on purpose or subconsciously, sometimes a person is aware of the subconscious, that he tapped into a vibe of that the one who is the essence being of all creation, who is the source of all wisdom, who is the source of all revelation, in that one love we have to invest our energies. And I think it's one of the most captivating subconsciously driven songs in the creation that I've heard in my lifetime. And how it's, I mean, you know, they recently did a version, I think it was before the corona, this pandemic, whatever you want to call it, this international situation, where in Israel, in Jerusalem, Jews and Arabs and people of different backgrounds came together and sang Bob Marley's One Love in Jerusalem. that to me was ample testimony, potent testimony, how Bob tapped into a very, very high vibration. And the reggae music, because it is tapped into a certain frequency and tonality, and from the constrictions I called out, and the Most High answered me in with a wideness, that this music has been blessed to be a catalyst for universe redemption. Here's just one example. One song, which if anyone doesn't like the song, then there's something wrong with that person, personally, in my humble opinion. So your comments on these matters, or anything you'd like to add to the conversation?
Well, you know, you said it there, you know, Yod He Vav He, in the essence of not just the ATGC code and genetical structure, the Most High branding himself into the orchestration of the very nature of the song that we are. One love, one art, you know, one aim, one destiny, as an extended statement coming from Marcus Garvey. And I'll be influenced by so much other great thinkers at the time. The essence of one love is to return to the I and the am. Before we get caught up in am, which is presence, which is that we are present and having our being, and the differentiation through classification, status, labels, and titles of what being is, culture, mm-hmm. i.e. nationalities and such, but has forgotten the prejunctive I, first cause in the law of cause and effect, law of correspondence. Existence, you know, I am, therefore I think, not I think, therefore I am. So that I again, yeah, the I in the I and the I is I am present, the very essence of the Most High, divinely manifest as life itself, as the song of life, a song play in the key of life. Love being unexpressed in its unconditional nature of the highest, not of intellect, but of vibration, but of frequency. Only those who are in tune, imbued, in touch with true creation, creator, Yod-He-Vav-He, could through the ATGC code align and arrange musical, psychological vibration. That is like the onomatopoeia, the sound is manifest, the activity. One love is truly what we need to get past the cultural indifference, multiculturalism, and the psychological, political, and economic philosophy of race, class, and gender, sex, and human, in the essence of what humanities are. These are statements in law and legalisms, but are they in natural law? And the natural law, again, is rooted in the spectrum of the law of balance, opposites, the correspondence, right? Music has its concurrence here, not just in sound, you know, but in heat, in movement, you know, in line, in contrast. That's why we dance to mathematical patterns, yeah? That's why we step three times and slide twice and spin once, yeah? And tap, and it's mathematical. And so in all of its alignment and its assignment is the monster. It's divine. It's divine, and the essence of how it is going to become, as it already is, the tool for the reminding of the masses of their true self is again imbued in its practitioners, those who are truly in sync with the music, to speak the language of truth. Because when people are designed reality or a conceptualization trying to remove, you know, Yod-He-Vav-He from the code, right, to re-engineer a new phallus, re-engineer the idea of a plasmode in this time, yeah, it's all going beyond the natural script, and as such, any augmentation or, you know, interference will create its own terror and recurrent disasters, you know, in the human family and genome to come. All of the different disease and disharmonization, again, as I said, that comes from discordance. So music is to remind people of right choices, of truth, right, of love, not fear. So if fear is the instrument of the current age of reset and human augmentation into these ideological, political, economic projects, right, and experimental ideas, then truth has to come through music, because fear is becoming the voice of our age that leads to improper thought, to discordant vibrations that cannot bring harmony, because there's not enough sequence of rest in between the notation. It's sporadic, it is not syncopated in the right alignment. so that you can breathe, feel what you're breathing, and express. Yeah, so people are being muscled, and truncated into triangulation, right? Which is not the way in which nature intended. So the essence of true music, inspiration, that is keeping the connection with the divine, is going to be even more apt in this time. The commerce of the age got to be of compassion. We have to be from a compassionate space and be beyond culture, class, and creed, but yet honor that which is truthful in each of the living cultures, which is that I is one. I am. Yeah? Amen. So we have to remind ourselves, you know, that before we get too caught up in all of the splinterings and separation that the current political economic structure is doing to the people that are being augmented into a new ideology of personhood, right, and transhumanism and such and such and such the like, you know. Just new ways of eugenics coming forward and the control ideology of populace and design of, you know, human resources going forward. So, I mean, Brother Goodman, we all have our place in this human family. I sang, you know, wake up from the sleep of death, because that's what I see a lot of these things as, you know, a sleep of death, lit, which is not just transposed to this age. It's just that we are present in this age. So we have to be aware of what puts us to sleep and what bids us to be awakened and awakened in choices.
Right. Well, I look at it this way, that the whole idea of waking up from a living death or a spiritual death is immersing myself only in linear thinking. Now, linear thinking to me is sort of like a obligate. For instance, I know 1 + 1 = 2, but on the level of quantum physics, 1 + 1 = 6,222. I think many human beings are as you said, people are being divided and conquered by the current system of human beings who are pointing fingers at others while they are acting in satanic ways. And to me, eugenics, I mean, the nation of Israel and the nation of African peoples, nations, we have been on the targets for a long time for eugenics. So we know we know the sting of it very clearly. And that's why, you know, on many of my programs, this is anti-eugenics radio broadcasting, anti-eugenics Torah, because one of the foundations of Torah is to be fruitful and multiply, and if not just in physical progeny, in the progeny of one's thoughts and one's speech and one's actions. But I wanted to say this for a couple minutes, Jerome. How has your experiences, excuse me, in Jamaica? Now, Jamaica, I know there are cities and there are suburban areas and there's a lot of country. How has the nation been dealing with the last 2 years under the current what would seem, from the superficial perspective of human intellect, and a negative occurrence, which it is? I mean, many people have died. We're not going to lighten that matter. But how have the people of the Diamond Caribbean, Jamaica, dealt with the last 2 years? And where does Jamaica stand? And what is the mood of the people going forward?
Well, Jamaica and Hamaca. Hamaca, my Taino Aboriginal home. The Aboriginal mindset is that, you know, organic and the divine transposes itself into right thinking, and we call that right thinking or traditions. And hence, traditional ways is what the organic Taino populace holds to. That is not just a political statement that you can find 100,000 Tainos to say, you know, this is what it is. It is in statement of the state of mind of the individuals who will not do certain things are the Taino mindset. I have done that in my epigenetics to know this. You might have some anthropologists who might challenge me there, but that's their issue, right? So I know that this is not a political statement, it's a statement of heritage first, that the Tainos who are here are sticking, hallelujah, to our traditions as a way to deal with any forms of pathogens or antigens will come from the traditional experience. However, that being said, the state of Jamaica, right, a political construct is no different from the international maritime admiralty law systems of the 21st and 20th century. Whether this be a recurrence of the Spanish flu or the 1770 plague or whatever it is that, whatever this is in its political, its reset and its restructuring of economic and political identity, Jamaica has been playing along pretty much with the world blue book of opportune curfews and lockdowns and shutdowns and mm-hmm. all of the protocols as it pertains to the universality of this new reset laws. Be that as it may, I find that the mood has changed from one of just uncertainty at first and bewilderment at the deepest point to one of learning to go beyond and in some sense live with these new mandatory ideas that are authorized but might not be lawful. They might be legal, but they right. certainly aren't lawful. And these are arguable, not just through the positivism view of legal jargon or legal precedence, which is the one that is, I think, promulgating all of this. But we can go back to Hitler's gas chamber as a right. Premise and point that natural law did win out against such abhorrence in the state's approach to the populace under these regimes of, you know, augmenting power or being absolute in power. Be that as it may, if that's not what's going on, we are following all these international charters and such. I think we're trying to find means to operate somewhat semi-independently, but then again, I cannot quote that politically. But that's just my opinion. Right. What I see us playing by is the same playbook, as I said, and we as a people have suffered under lockdown. The entertainment industry, for one, that we're talking about music, has not really reopened. So right. you find that people who survive and subsist by music and musical endeavors in an island so creative is unable to support themselves anymore by the means of functionality which they knew. And this, to me, is troubling. There have been talks of some form of, you know, the government aid or something, but I have not heard anything concretized or manifest. Be that as it may, I'm trying to say that Jamaicans are trying to cope with what is presented before them. And, you know, I think they're weary and have gotten past it now to the point where they're trying to figure out how to survive with these so-called changes that come upon us. But politically, it's been relaxed for about a month. The curfew has been relaxed for about a month and it might pick up again soon. Going into 2022 and now it's here, I see that, it's still quiet. It's not as vibrant as it was on the streets, on the avenues. Right. On the lanes. That is manifest differences. That is clear, you know. Going out now, there is not that mood that was there. So it has augmented right. a part of the exuberance of the people and have kind of made it become contained. So I think it is having psychological issues with the children and their education. But I don't support right. systematic education, but I still have to speak about it in the sense that education to me is individual and family-oriented. If you augment it over to the state, then you are controlled by the state. Be that as it may, I think the children psychologically are suffering. Their behaviors are going off
yes.
off the chart. And I don't know, man. There's stuff here. After going to my human and coming to the intellect, I don't know what's going on. I pray that we start something throughout so that the children can have some semblance of proper functionality, that discipline and true principle can be taught by adults which are supposed to be responsible, not to coalesce the stupidity and ideological ideologues, but to actually function from that which has been here for thousands of years, which is rooted in natural law, of which all of my premise is based, all of my reasonings, behaviors, and attitudes. And as such, I pray that these political gargamel, demagogues and such gets it right and right. You know, something comes good. But for the regular people who are I, you know, the Taino, the regular Jamaicans, you know, in the hills right. and the mountains, I live, right. you know, just been living off the land, feeding ourselves and, you know, whatever connections we have to our people out there, we're still keeping the harmony. We're not the people who are, what we call it, hysterical about it, you know. To some degree, right. people still operate like maybe the world is saying mask and all of that and whatever, but country people tend to be more into the trust of nature, and yes. by judging and observing, they will know by feeling who to embrace, who not to embrace.
Right. I'd like to share with you a home remedy, which actually originates in Jewish law, which is called halakha. And during the early stages of the pandemic, I heard about this, that there was one family that didn't catch the virus, and they were asked what they did. So they said they once learned from, I think, a relative that lived in Jerusalem, that if there was times of trouble with a virus or flu flying around, that they would cut up onions and put them at various parts of the houses. Now, why I'm bringing in the halakha, the Jewish law, we're not allowed to cut an onion and leave it out on the counter overnight, but if we cut up an onion, it has to be mixed already in the food. So the what's behind it is that actually if you leave onions cut up and put them in the corners of your house or by your windows, they actually are a potent agent to suck in, absorb toxins that are in the air. That's why the next morning we don't want to eat at something which has absorbed the toxins. And as well, onions have quercetin in it, which they say combined with the zinc is a potent force against this virus. So I just want to share that, but it's something that has happened, I know, within my own community, in the Chabad community, the Hasidic community, is with all this happening that there's been a rare opportunity to actually spread more light of the Torah, of spirituality. So I'm saying, isn't it also a time where, like, say, the Tainos or the Rastafarians, or the Tainos who are Rastafarians or the Rastafarians who are not Tainos, have had an open opportunity, whether through the internet or interpersonal experience, to spread the spirituality, to empower the people to move forward towards human growth and healing?
Yes.
So can you comment on that?
There have been a couple of movements. There has been this new political movement that seemed to be championing the cause, because we are here for the information, not for our personal biases, so I should mention that. UIC, it's new party, and it really centers around the idea of, you know, balanced civil liberties and, I guess, more power to the proletariat. And, I haven't really gone more into its old tenets to speak about it, except I can say that they did launch a couple of protests during a time when there was no permits given for protests, and they were pretty much organized against mandatory, that particular form of, injecting individuals with foreign bodies in their biology. They were pretty much against that, and they had launched a protest against that was mixing with some, again, drives towards proper civil liberties and justice for the proletariat. And they were, some would say, I wouldn't say harsh, savage would be a word, but harshly treated by the government in terms of the protest was silenced very, drastically, and, you know, there was some arrest and, very strong mistreatment of individuals to some degree. And within, I guess, a few months, the law enforcement themselves went on strike for improper treatment during these times as well, too. So it seems that administratively there were problems in, carrying out functions of state, because I think they were concentrated around certain international protocols. Rastafarians in general, outside of this political movement, because this political movement had Rastas and everybody, so that's why I mentioned it first, because it was like a unity in maybe the egalitarian principle of many different beliefs coming together for common good. But Rastafari themselves had protests, I think, several times against, mandatory movements of the government towards these forced injections and such. And as a part of the whole process, there has been more spiritual information that's been circulating. Rastafari is more rooted in Ethiopianism, so they have been bringing more Ethiopic views, just like you're mentioning, and traditions on remedies for things and ideologies when economic systems and political systems get unbalanced, because Rastafari premise on Ethiopia is a theocracy, the theocratic view of God being in state. And so they were, giving lots of reasonings on that. For my own self as an individual, for me, I am what I consider myself first a servant of the Most High, but in terms of my delineation, I would say I'm a social scientist, and I do like anthropology. So as such, I have no statements of what is. I'm just observing, and hallelujah, as such, I cannot quantify what I've observed because I'm still doing it. Therefore, I can only say, like I said before, I'm just wanting to see what really comes. I am not one that has been I am not a curian of the state, and as such,
right.
I do not carry state protocols. However, I have I work within the electoral process of the state as a functionary.
Right.
But that is contractual, and it's part of our constitution, right? So it's not that I'm a state worker of any sort. So you know, I have no affiliation in my living man status to the strawman idea of what the state is. But as an anthropologist, I'm studying, I'm seeing what will come. I say this is a age of choices, an appropriation of choices, and the value and virtue of choice, and it comes right back to faith. How much does the individual love themselves? How much does the individual love their creator and the essence of the organic nature of creation, the natural way?
Beautiful. I just want to comment based on something that the Rebbe once said many years ago. In fact, I was at the gathering. There was a gathering of students in college, you know, during the New Year's break. And he said that there are some people think that science and Torah should never meet. So the Rebbe himself was an electrical engineer who served several years in the U.S. Army and was involved in creating a certain type of scope that was used for the U.S. tanks that helped defeat the Panzer Division of the German tanks in the campaigns in Egypt. But he mentioned that anyone who thinks there's a contradiction between Torah, i.e. spirituality, a person's perception of godliness, and the sciences, doesn't know enough about spirituality or Torah, whatever you want to call it, and they don't know enough about science. So the fact that you identify yourself as a social scientist, anthropologist, it is no contradiction. Your indigenous spirituality or whatever you've gathered in through your years of living experience from the Pan-African movement and the Rastafarian movement, so that actually probably makes you the most qualified social scientist or a more qualified social scientist and a more qualified anthropologist, because you're not carrying out a stated agenda. You're carrying out the agenda of learning more about the truth as it manifests in the tiny details of anthropology or any forms of social science. So I just want to give you that
Absolutely.
Type of feedback. And we actually spilled over the hour drum stage because it was a quick hour. I want to thank you for coming in. I'll let you say the last word before I sign off. And I do hope we'll be able to do a continuation of today's program, music, word, sound equals power. And maybe you can take our blessed listeners, hopefully next month, into the process of how you take an experience and turn it into music and you know, working out the harmonies and all, you know, get bring us into the you know, there are videos of how bands put music together, but verbally it can be done as well. I know you have the talent to do so. So before we sign off, Jerome Sage, with our segue into music, can you please give us a concluding word, which hopefully will be the segue to our next collaboration next month?
Awesomely, Brother Goodman. I do look forward to this continuation. I will give thanks to the great teachings of the Rebbe and to the great divine creator, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, in all things manifest as in the ATGC gene code of our very essence and our core nature and being, which is 432 megahertz, which is 7.83 hertz, which is the essence of the right-breathing pneuma spirit, the essence of the electromagnetonal frequency of our lives. The photon light bands, yeah, what we see inspires. What we see, we feel. What we feel, we move to. What we move to, what moves us, it is music. It is life, the very light of our being. So I give thanks and I look forward to continuing. Blessed be the souls who have heard and have been partaking of this word. And may we continue in life.
Amen. With that being said, blessed souls, we want to end off by reminding everyone that thinking good, don't be surprised when good manifests. And that the era that we have Israel partnering with all the nations of the world, doesn't matter what our DNA is, doesn't matter what our history is. Ultimately, we're looking for an era where there's no more jealousy, no more hatred, no more competition. We should be competing within ourselves to improve ourselves. And one of the individuals, the seminal figures in the history of the human family experience, was Abraham or Avraham. And we have a young man from the name of Benjamin Terrell who's going to end today's program with the song Avraham, talking about how Avraham fought for his life to create the idea of the idea of a habachad, one love, girl achad, one destiny, calling for all those, but darken, darken, shalom, in a peaceful, pleasant way. Let's take away with Benjamin Terrell. And again, once again, we thank Jerome Sage Butler for coming on today's program. And Laham Shik to be continued for in Fayacha. Shalom, everyone. Peace and be well.
Abraham was swimming in his head. A searcher of truth, he was wanted dead. In the desert, he stood alone, welcoming people into his home. He gave them food and let them stay. But before they left, he would have them say, thank you, infinite one, for what you have done. Thank you, sustainer, for your sustaining. He grew up in a world of selfish belief. They praise their God for their personal needs. He delved into the depths to comprehend. Questioned his family and all his friends. What he perceived, others tried to hide. But his thirsty mind broke apart their lies. He said, how can I pray to the sun? Where did it come from? How can I pray to the earth? Where did it come from? He searched for truth everywhere. How could one live and never care? He wouldn't settle for an explanation that benefited someone's temptation, no. Into creation until he found a hidden revelation, and he proclaimed, my whole life I've been seeking truth and meaning. Now I've reached a conclusion, the true source of all being. He loves you more than yourself, so never fear. Closer than close and farther than far. Sustaining each candle to the brightest star. He has a purpose and wastes no time. So seek the truth and your promise to find. Thank you, infinite woman. To its heart.